for context, Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. Hear the word of the Lord. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim, each had six wings, and with two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed." Turn now, please, to the Gospel of Matthew. We are continuing our series in Matthew. We are going to do something a little unusual now, if you'll allow me, please. I'll explain in a moment. We're going to read Matthew 13, 1 through 3, and then jump to verse 10. You can see it in your bulletin, verse 10 through 17. This is our text for today's message. Matthew 13, 1. "That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables." Now jumping down to verse 10. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even that which he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear. Their eyes they have closed, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I will heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." This ends the reading of God's holy word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of Christ and of our God will abide forever. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word given to us. It is an awesome word. It is one that we now solemnly approach. By your grace, our ears will be opened. Open our ears and our eyes, O Lord, to your word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I jumped ahead because normally in reading this, we would read Matthew 13, 1, all the way through verse 23. And that would include the parable that really starts what Jesus says in the middle. So what we have is kind of like a package. He opens with a parable, which has got some mystery to it. Then he tells the disciples, to you it has been given to understand these mysteries. And then he proceeds to explain the parable to them, to prove that, and to demonstrate what the parable meant to them. So that's the context of the section in the middle. Today we're just focusing on the middle because it helps explain the parable. Next week, I will come back and we will do the parable and its explanation. So you will be retracing that in a sense by the earlier part of chapter 13. Now, we have been working through Matthew passage by passage, and so far we haven't encountered any parables, but now this is the first one. It's actually called a parable by Jesus here, speaking to them in parables. So it's worth talking about what parables are. There are different kinds of parables, three in particular, if you want to note this for your own interest. The first kind is really quite simple. It's a short, simple simile or metaphor. A simile has the word like in it. So this is like that. So, for example, if you turn to verse 31, he put another parable to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed. So there you have a simile. It's similar to that. It's like that. And it's rather a brief parable. A metaphor is pretty much the same thing, but you drop the word like. And so you have somebody being identified as something, but it is a comparison. So, for example, in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus calls his opponents blind guides. They are blind guides, leading people, the blind leading the blind. Or in verse 52, he talks about his disciples as scribes of the kingdom. They're like scribes. He doesn't use the word like, though. You are scribes of the kingdom. So that's a metaphor. Frankly, I think one of the more interesting kinds of parables are quite memorable. If I simply mention them to you, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. The parable of the prodigal son, or the parable of the good Samaritan. And we call those story parables. They're stories because you have interaction of characters, like stories, and you have a plot. And those, you know, will require some careful understanding of how they work when we encounter them. We will have some in Matthew down the road. Matthew 18 has one in particular we'll encounter, and then a few others in Matthew. By the way, they're primarily characterized Luke's gospel. So Luke is the great gospel of the story parables. So those famous ones I mentioned are in Luke, but not in Matthew. But he has some, and when we encounter them in Matthew, we'll come back to how to handle these stories. But what we're looking at today is the explanation coming up. It's the explanation of Jesus giving the interpretation of his parables to his people. And it's in the context of this parable of the soils. So the sower goes out, sower is a planter, by the way, throwing seed, and it falls on different kinds of soils. And then that's the parable. And we call that a similitude. Similitude, if you're writing that down. It's really a long simile. That's all it is. But it's a little more complicated than a quick simile. The kingdom is like a grain of mustard seed. That's pretty simple, pretty short, just one thing. But if you have more than one and really other things involved in this comparison, as we do in our similitude parable, in our chapter 13 as it opens up, I just call that a similitude, just so we can identify it. And so, for example, there's birds, sun scorching the seed, different kinds of soil. I mean, there's just more to it. It's a little longer and more involved. That's what a similitude is. Now, what we're dealing with here is the purpose of the parables, and what Jesus says is quite striking because he says there are two main purposes for him teaching in parables. Notice in verse 10, the disciples come and they want to know why he's doing this. Why are you teaching them in these parables that are hard to understand? And his answer, quite strikingly, is, I'm teaching that to hide the truth and to reveal it. I'm hiding it from some, and I'm revealing it to others. Now, brothers and sisters, if you think this is really shocking, you haven't read chapter 11 of Matthew. Jesus has already said that this is what he's doing in Matthew 11. We have covered that in our sermon series. Matthew 11, verses 25 to 26. Let me read that for you. Matthew 11, 25. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. That's what our Lord said already. So we shouldn't be shocked when he says, I'm teaching to them in parables because I'm only revealing these truths to people whom I choose to reveal them. And then interestingly, he proceeds to reveal pretty openly what the parable means. That doesn't mean they will understand, but he's very free with his explanation because here it is in Scripture. You and I are reading it today when he explains the parable. We'll come back to that. But notice here, though, he is revealing it to little children. The word actually is toddler. He reveals his mysteries to toddlers in the kingdom. Well, Jesus is actually going further than what he said earlier. In this section that we're dealing with, verse 11, to you it has been given, but to them it's not been given. So the background of this, you need to understand to know what's going on here. When Jesus came into the world, he came to his own people who have been prepared. The scripture had been given to them for generation after generation. The institutions of reading and understanding the scripture, seeing it played out in the temple, the tabernacle in the temple, and the truths of the gospel is played out for them in the festivals. They have these things. They've had them from generation to generation. And he came to these people who have had the scriptures entrusted to them, had all the institutions of God's presence with them generation after generation. He doesn't just show up and talk to people who can have no legitimate, you know, claim on him and say, well, we didn't ever hear about you before. No, he came to his own people. Listen to what Peter says in the book of Acts as he's preaching to the people of Israel. Acts 3:25. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. He sent John the Baptist to his people to turn them that they would be prepared for the coming of Christ. This is what Jesus is. These are the people that Jesus is telling this to. These people, notice in the Isaiah passage, verse 15 of Matthew chapter 13, at the end, they don't see, they don't hear. They don't understand and turn, or I would heal them, because their eyes are closed. This is not new. Jeremiah 5. Hear this, O foolish and senseless people who have eyes, but see not, who have ears but hear not. Foolish and senseless people. Ezekiel 12, Son of man, you will dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, who have eyes to see but see not, who have ears to hear but hear not, for they are a rebellious house. This is their hardness of heart. This is evident in our passage, in the context as we've been leading up to this. Notice in chapter 12, we already saw this. Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you. After Jesus has already presented them signs that are infallible as to who he is. He forgives sins. He raises the dead. He heals lepers. He's been doing all sorts of signs. Oh, teacher, we want to see some signs from you. This is hardness of heart. And they come again in chapter 16. Pharisees and Sadducees came to test Jesus. They asked him, show us a sign from heaven. What more do you want? Well, brothers and sisters, here's where this ends up in Matthew's gospel. Here's where this ends up. Those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, he saved others. He cannot save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we will believe in him. Do you really think they would? With all that they've seen already? These people's hearts have grown dull. They are not listening or seeing. They have an abundance of signs over and over and over again, but they would not turn and repent. Here's what Paul says, 1 Corinthians 2, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom from God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Instead, they're at the cross mocking our Lord. Well, brothers and sisters, these insights are revealed to some. And they must understand. And he opens their ears and their eyes. Now, in our passage, I'm looking at verse 11. To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. First of all, I want you to understand here that this word secrets can perhaps better be rendered mysteries. It's a mystery. It's not a secret in the sense of there's no disclosure of it, but it's not understood. It's a mystery to people. Now, if you want to see this, there are other instances of this in Scripture that demonstrate this quite clearly. And that would be the dreams given to Pharaoh. It was a mystery. But Pharaoh, you know, knew the dream. He understood what he saw, but he didn't understand it, right? So he knew certain facts about what he saw in the dream, but he didn't know the meaning. He didn't understand the mystery of it. That's what we're talking about with mystery here. To understand its significance and its meaning. What does this mean? Well, and then Pharaoh received Joseph. This is the book of Genesis. Or think the same thing in Daniel with Nebuchadnezzar. This is Daniel. There are things, you know, known by the people who approached Daniel for understanding the mystery. So mysteries are things, you know things about them, but they don't understand them. And that's what's going on here as well. These are the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now, next week, we're actually going to get into that more. And this is very significant. But notice that these mysteries remain mysterious to the leaders of Israel. And this comes out in John chapter 11, for example. John 11, 45. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. This is after raising Lazarus from the dead. If you want to, you know, think about Lazarus being raised from the dead, John 11. It just occupies most of that chapter. And that's where we're at now, the end of this. So many of the Jews believed in him when they saw it. verse 46. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." They saw the signs, and they showed their real concern, this worldly power. What happened about 30 years after this? The Romans came and took away their nation. 70 AD, after the first Israelite revolt, destroyed the temple and destroyed the nation. They did do that. But it wasn't because Jesus had come. Or was it? Now, brothers and sisters, you are blessed. Notice what he says in verse 16. "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Now, truly, many righteous people and prophets long to see what you see, and they didn't see it, hear what you hear, and they didn't hear it. Peter, in 1 Peter, pronounces a blessing on you here in Corvallis today, saying, you didn't see him, but you are blessed because you believe in him. See, brothers and sisters, we are blessed along with that original people because we can read, hear, and understand. We approach the Lord in faith and humility, and these things are given to us. Notice what he says in verse 11. To you it has been given to know. It's given to us. We can't claim, oh, it's our great wisdom, it's our great piety. It's something in us is so great that we deserve this. No, it's been given to us. These things come from the Lord. And it's not a private gift. You want the proof of that? We just read it. I'm preaching on it. This is not private. This is for everybody. Anybody can come to the Lord and claim this gift. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Learn from me, for I am lowly of heart and humble. Learn from me, Jesus says. You come to me and you learn. If you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's because he's opened these things up to you. You too are blessed. It's interesting. I'm sorry. I just can't help it. I've got one more text in John to read. Forgive me for taking your time, but you've got to hear this. This connects to our Isaiah passage. This is John chapter 12. When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him, so that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Lord, who has believed what he heard from us? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe, for again Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I will heal them. Verse 41, Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Isaiah 6, he saw his glory. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Lord who came down from heaven. That's the glory that Isaiah saw. He saw the Son of God in his glory. And he came down and dwelt among us. And he speaks these things to us. He's the same one who calls you and says, you come to me. If you're heavy laden and you have need of life, you come to me and I will provide it for you. This is the one that Isaiah saw. And here's the thing. I want you to get this. I was converted at age 23, okay? So, I remember the day. Not all of you will, and I think you're blessed. More blessed than I was, because, you know, I was an idiot. Still suffer with. But brothers and sisters, right after that, somebody gave me they heard I became a Christian, and it was somebody, you know, didn't know anything about Christianity really, but thought they'd give me a sort of gift. And it was this plaque of this half-stoned hippie white guy staring off into space. But it was supposed to be Jesus. You know, it was like, I threw it away. Even I knew that was dumb. It wasn't Jesus. Jesus is the one that Isaiah saw in the temple, full of glory. It's not some white guy, right? It's not some, you know, Eastern mystic. And here's the deal. Jesus does not play around. He is a great king. And he today is telling you, you come to me if you want life, and I will give you insight into these great things that I teach you. You come humbly before me because I'm a great king and I'm not playing around. We're dealing with the things of eternal life here today. And you come to the Lord to claim your eternal life, which he gives freely. But if you harden your heart and you close your ears and your eyes to him, it is not good. It's like those people that were mocking Christ at the cross. They saw the signs, they knew the meaning, and they refused. And their lot was to come under the judgment of God. The Romans' judgment was nothing compared to the judgment of God, turning away from the living God. And this is a very scary passage for good reason. It is a scary thing. But I'm not here to scare you into the kingdom. The Lord Jesus offers you insight into the kingdom of God, the new creation. He offers you a place in it. And he says, this has been given to you. You come and you will know that you have life eternal with him, our great Savior. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us hope and life in Christ Jesus. We have a heritage here. You have given us your word. I pray that you'll open our eyes and hearts to your word. We will not be hard to it. I pray that everyone here would, and those who are listening online would, know the truth of Christ and know the joy of eternal life. And hold fast to these things, because the seed is planted widely, O Lord, and it's planted out of your gracious kindness. We pray it will take deep root in all the listeners and hearers and seers here. We pray, O Lord, that you will bless us to that end. In Christ's name, amen.